Chapter 6, Close Encounter of the Turd Kind. 4th of July, right? Everybody goes nuts. The dads are getting drunk and having their cookouts, and the moms are trying to keep all the brats from blowing their precious little pinkies off with cherry bombs, and the kids are running wild through the backyards. It's like no rules apply, and that makes everything real edgy, if you know what I mean. Like, let's have a blast, and who cares what happens? Don't get me wrong, I love the 4th. It's just that people tend to get all choked up about firecracker holidays, and they don't see what's really going on, which, like I say, is the dads swilling beer and acting numb. That's the basic formula. Not that Grim ever swills anything stronger than root beer, no way. The poison never crossed his lips, he likes to say, even though I've seen a picture of him in an army uniform, and it sure looks like a bottle of beer in his hand, and he's got the same whacked by a hammer grin that dudes always get when they're drinking. Anyhow, this is the first year when I get to go to the fireworks without Grim and Graham, which I've never understood because it's right down by the mill pond where I've been allowed to go for years. So why should it make a difference just because about a million people show up to watch the rocket's red glare over that smelly pond? The deal this year is I get to go with Freak, which Graham thinks is a good idea because she's afraid he'll get crushed or something. So she actually thinks people are going to step on him, which just goes to show how brainless she can be sometimes and scared of everything. I mean, nobody steps on little kids down there, so why should they step on Freak? Turns out the thing to be worried about is not kid stompers, but beer swillers, like I mentioned before. Because Freak and I are still a couple of blocks from the pond, just a kind of easing our way along, when these punks start mouthing off. Hey, you, Mutt and Jeff, Frankenstein and Igor, don't look around, I'm talking to you. Boneheads, what is this, a freak show? I know that voice. Tony D. They call him Blade. He's at least 17. He's already been to juvie court 3-4 times. I heard that he cut a guy with a razor. He almost died. And everybody says the best way to handle Tony D and his gang is to avoid them. Cross the street, hide, whatever it takes. Yeah, you, he goes. And he's doing his hippity hop walk, strutting along. He's got these fancy cool cowboy boots with metal toes. Yeah, Andre the Giant and the Dwarf. Hold on a sec, I want a word with you. Only the way he talks, he goes, ah, I want a word with you, except it's bad enough having to listen to the creep. I don't want to have to spell the dumb way he talks. Anyhow, big mistake, we stop and wait for Tony D, alias the Bad News Blade. Got any dudes, he asks, pretending like he's friendly. He's a couple feet away, but you can smell the beer on his breath. Also, it smells like he ate something dead, for instance, roadkill, but maybe that's my imagination. Pay attention, Tony D says. I asked, did you got any? Freak, his chest is all puffed out and his chin looks hard, and he's looking right up at Tony D. And he said, got any what? Tony D, his hands on his hips, and his punkster pals are trying to get closer, working through the crowd. He leans over Freak, and he says, boomers, you little freak. M80s. Maybe a rack of cherry bombs. Is that what's making a lump in your pocket, huh? Freak starts to hump himself away, trying to walk faster than he really can, which makes his leg brace bump against the ground. Come along, Maxwell, he says over his shoulder. Ignore the cretin. Blade goes, hey, what? And he moves right in front of Freak. Want to say that again, little freak man? Freak says, cretin. C-R-E-T-I-N. Defined as one who suffers from mental deficiencies. Hearing how little tiny Freak is dissing the fearsome Tony D, alias Blade, I can't help it. I laugh out loud. Tony D is looking up at me and he's showing his white teeth. I swear they've been sharpened to look like vampire's teeth. And I go, uh-oh, and start to get real cold inside, real icy, because I can see that Blade is trying to make up his mind, and he's going to fight me, or is he just going to kill me quick? Just then, I hear the whoop of a siren. Like a miracle, this cop car comes out of nowhere, heading for the mill pond. And Blade takes one look, and he and his punksters are out of there, burning rubber in their Reeboks. Freak goes, "Whoo, that was a close encounter of the turd kind." And it takes me a second to get the joke, but then I'm laughing, amazed that he can be so cool about it. Like it was no big deal that Tony D was after us. "You can take him, right?" he asked after a couple of minutes later. I go, "Are you kidding? You can't just fight Blade. You have to go and fight his gang, too." "You mean you couldn't take him? I was giving him lip." "That's about the size of it." Freak goes, "Oh, my God." And he's shrieking and laughing and whooping it up so loud that everybody is looking at us like we're the total goons, which isn't far from the truth. Freak hasn't got his crutch tonight, just the leg brace, and he's laughing so hard he falls down. Not that he has far to go. Anyhow, I pick him up, and I'm amazed at how light he is. Like, it's nothing for me to lift him. And maybe that's where I get the idea. Because later, when we're down by the pond, and the first of the rockets is streaking up, 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 Freak is making a fuss because he can't see. There's so many people crowded around. All he can see are feet and knees, and people are lifting their little kids up to see the fireworks explode like hot pink flowers in the sky. And so I just sort of reach down without thinking and pick up Freak and set him on my shoulders. He's kind of trembly up there until he grabs hold of my hair to steady himself. And then first really big rocket whams of humongous thud I can feel in my stomach, and Freak is shouting, "All right!" And I know it's okay, he's not flipped out because I picked him up and put him on my shoulders like a little kid, instead of possibly the smartest human being in the whole world. "Magnesium," he shouts as the white sparkles glitter down over the pond. "Potassium chlorate," as the shells go womp, womp, womp. And everybody goes, "Ooh, potassium nitrate, sulfur, aluminum." And after a burst of hot red fire in the sky, Freak tugs on my hair and screams, "Copper! That's copper powder combusting with oxygen." And when the fire blossoms are flashing blue, he goes, "Good old strontium nitrate." And I'm thinking, whoa, is there anything this little dude doesn't know? At the end, like always, they have a thing they call a grand finale, when they just go nuts and light off everything at once, and it sounds like World War III, whizzing and banging and popping. And there's so much hot stuff falling from the sky, you can hear it sizzling in the pond. Freak keeps on shouting out the names of the chemicals and elements, and until the last spark dies in the scummy pond, and the crowd cheers, and then everybody tries to leave at once, like a bunch of morons.